The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Good evening, Grizz Nation. Welcome to the Hoop Ball Grizz Podcast. I'm Isaac Simpson. With me is David Williams after the Grizzlies would have come up with a big win tonight, 128-115 at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. This is not one that I saw coming. I mean, we kind of talked about this seven-game road trip and kind of the games we thought they had a chance to win, and this wasn't one of the ones I thought they would get. I thought they'd win last night. Thought this would be a tough one on the back-to-back, but Grizzlies pretty much had this one in control from start to finish.
Yeah, the Bucks took a few leads here and there. There were looks like 9 lead changes, and the Grizzlies won every quarter. They outscored the Bucks in every single quarter. It was just a great execution game for the Grizzlies. They played great on defense. And they were taking what the Bucks were giving them. We were talking just before we started recording about, Kyle, when he was just getting in and eating that zone up, and then somebody penetrating and dumping it off to X for an easy layup. It happened over and over and over again, and there were just no adjustments. And hey, I'm good with it. It led to the Grizzlies winning.
Yeah, I mean, Grizz took the lead with 5:02 remaining in the first quarter, and just never looked back. And like you said, I mean, they stayed in that zone, and the Grizzlies were just killing them. I mean, getting deep penetration into the paint. Kyle was just getting into the paint, dumping off the X, dumping off the guys, or taking the shot himself, and they didn't make adjustments. So I'm like, man, keep rolling with it. And it was just a fantastic game tonight. I mean, I love the spacing that the Grizzlies have. I mean, it just offensively, it was just a really good game, and defensively as well. I mean, I think they did a good job defensively as well. And you think of Milwaukee being this really good defensive team, but they definitely weren't that tonight. The Grizzlies just kind of chopped up their defense all night, were basically able to get whatever they want, get good looks, clean looks from three for Grayson. Knocked out 7 threes tonight, 7-10, his career high. Just an all-around big game. And, I mean, you look at the seven-game road trip. Start off 2-0. I was saying 3-4. Now I think I'm going to get a little bit greedy, man. Let's take 4-5.
Yeah, man, that's – I'll tell you this. If they continue to play this way – they are going to have a chance to win every game in this road trip. I'm not saying they're going to go 7-0, but if they play the way that they played tonight, there's not anybody in this seven game road trip that they don't have a chance to win. You can beat any team in the league playing the way that they did tonight.
No doubt about that. I mean, you put up a hang 128 on one of the best defensive teams in the league. I mean, that's quite impressive. Now 1-6-7 away from FedEx Forum. So this team has been playing extremely well on the road. And they continue to knock down threes, right? 15 of 40 tonight for 37.5%. Again, Grayson, 7 of 10, just a fantastic night for him. DB scored 32 last night. Came back with 21 tonight, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Did not knock down a three. It was 3 of 3 from the free throw line. 9 of 15 overall in 34 minutes. But we got to praised him a few shows back about how he had cut down on his fouls this year. Ever since we talked about that, he's kind of reverted back to some silly fouls. I think he had 5 again tonight.
Yeah, yeah, and 2 of them were just back to the dumb foul stuff, man. There was one in particular that he got tied up with PJ Tucker. And, Dylan just – that foul was not surprising to me because Dylan just doesn't take crap off of anybody. And PJ just kept trying to tie him up, and Dylan just essentially shoved him out of the way. You know, it was slightly more complicated than that, but it was just you can try to give me crap, but I'm not taking it. And that's what that foul was. That's exactly — PJ Tucker knew what he was doing. He's been around the game long enough. He knows what he's got to do. And that's what he was doing. It worked. It got Dylan that foul, but yeah, like I said, never again. He's not getting praised about not fouling people ever again. I'm not saying another word.
Yeah, man. Big bench night tonight. 43 points off the bench. And a lot of that came from Desmond Bain, man. What a game for him. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, just filling that stat sheet. 6-10 from the floor, 3-5 from three, 1-1 from the free throw line in 25 minutes. But plus 18, highest on the team. I mean, he was just doing it all tonight, just making plays out on the floor defensively and offensively. And he's proven, again, that a lot of people thought coming in he was just a shooter. And he's proven that he's definitely a lot more than that. And I think his ceiling is a lot higher than just a three-point shooter.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you. You were talking about minutes there, and I was looking at the rotations and the minutes played from everybody tonight. And I'm getting excited, man. I know that seems like something very, very small to get excited over, but Jenkins wanted to win this game. And you can tell by looking at the minutes played. He cut that rotation down to about seven guys. Tyus played 16 minutes, but you know, you had Tyus, Tillman, Bane. Those were basically an eight-man rotation in a game that you could tell that he wanted to win. He wanted to win this game. And we've discussed his rotations all year and talked about, is he going to make adjustments? Is he going to tighten it up, rein it in? And I was unsure if he was going to. And based off of what we saw tonight, I think that we can safely say that in the games that he's playing to win, he's going to tighten it up.
Yeah, you could definitely see that. I mean, you just look down the starters, 31 minutes for Ja, 34 for Grayson, 34 for DB, 34 for Slow-Mo, and JV with 26. So you can tell that he really wanted to win this game, and guys played more minutes, because you usually see these guys in the high 20s in the starters, and he definitely showed up their rotation tonight. And speaking of that rotation, I mean, it doesn't look crazy on the box score for Tilly, 2 points, two rebounds, and a block, but he played really well again tonight. I mean, he maximizes his minutes. He might not always score, but he makes hustle plays. He had a big block there in the game. And I just love what I see from him. And I think usage-wise, I think when he matures and starts to play more minutes as time goes on, the years go on, I think he has, again, he's going to be a player that's really good for this team and a rotation player. I mean, I think that anytime he's out there, he good things happen. And I think that happened again tonight.
Yeah, outside of that rough elbow, man.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't intentional, but when they showed that replay and it was slowed down, it hit him square. And I was watching and I'm like, man, I hope that's not a broke jaw or something, because that was a direct hit, and then, you know, it ended up just being, you know, a cut on the face or, you know, lip. That's much better than what I thought it was going to be initially, because it was pretty rough contact.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him come back in the game. I was like, well, we know with the Grizz, it's going to be he might be done for like 3 weeks or something with kind of the way they handle injuries, because it did look bad. So I was kind of surprised when he came back in the game, and came back in the game and immediately made a play as soon as he came back in. But 31 assists tonight, man. Again, they make that magic number of 30. Usually when they get to 30 assists, they usually win. And 31 here tonight, another stat that stood out, 20 fast break points for the Grizzlies, 5 for Milwaukee. And I think it was 16-0 Grizz after the first quarter. And that's something Milwaukee likes to get out in transition. And they Grizzlies shut that down tonight.
Yeah, that's Pete and Brevin were talking about. The Bucks are the number one team in the league as far as giving up the fast break points, number one defense in the league, and the Grizzlies put up 20 on them. So that's a big feather in the cap for the Grizzlies, doing well on that. They outscored them in the paint as well. That's surprising. The Grizzlies are always a good team in the paint, but the Bucks are as well, with Giannis and Middleton, Drew Holiday. Those guys can all get downhill and score in the paint. The Grizzlies outscored them 60-40 in the paint tonight. Second chance points went to the Bucks, but you know, it's games like tonight just give me a ton of hope for what this team. You're beating one of the best teams in the league right now, and they played with them right before the All-Star break. We knew that they could play with this team. They're beating them here, and they beat them pretty handily tonight. So I just, when they lose games like the Knicks game, or, you know, name Cavaliers game, whichever game you want to go back to, it just makes it that much more frustrating whenever you see them play the way that they played tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and that is something that stands out because you see them play with the best teams in the league, and they lose these games to bad teams. I mean, if you want to go back to the OKC game where pretty much everybody was out, or the Golden State game, the Cleveland game, the Knicks game, the way they lost that, those are not, even though the Knicks have been playing better. It's frustrating because you're like, man, the Grizzlies could be one of the better teams in the league, because you just see what they games like tonight, and you're like, why can't they play like that all the time. But I guess that just kind of goes back to it being a young team. Sometimes you're going to get these type of efforts, and sometimes they're not going to play so well. But it does get frustrating at times because you're like, man, this ceiling is really high for this team. And again, seeing what you saw tonight, I think it has to make you excited for what this team could look like when you integrate Jaren Jackson Jr. back in here, when you have Justice Winslow healthy, when you have D'Anthony Melton back and have these guys all healthy at one time. I mean, I think the sky's the limit. This team is, if they play the way they play tonight, they're going to scare somebody if they get to play on and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's. I was looking at the standings. Had they won the Mavericks game, they would be standing alone in seventh, controlling their own destiny. That three games over the next 2 weeks here against the Trailblazers, and that's the team they'd be chasing for the sixth seed. If they find a way to hold on in that game, find a way to finish off, you know, Grayson knocks down those free throws, whatever the case is, they are sitting in a much better position. And the, you know, I was talking about the Knicks game. That wasn't a slide on the Knicks so much as the collapse from the Grizzlies. The Knicks are a playoff team in the East. They're playing much, much better. So it wasn't, you know, I wasn't saying that to badmouth the Knicks in any way. They just, that game was just recent, so I was bringing it up. But what do you do differently in any of those games? You can go back and look at a number of different things, but I don't know. I guess consistency comes with experience, and that's what, you know, like what you said, the young team. That's what we're seeing, just seeing the inconsistencies from them. Great job defensively tonight on Chris Middleton. He ended with 17 points, but he was 16. Sorry. Oh, hold on. I can't even read. 16. You know, but he was 5 for 13 from the field. This guy's a, you know, 50, 40, 90 guy, and Dylan, Grayson, Kyle, they all done a great job making it hard on him.
Yeah, he definitely worked for it. I mean, they shut him down, especially. I mean, he made some shots later on into the fourth quarter, but they did a really good job on him tonight because, I mean, he got 17 points, but he worked extremely hard to get those 17 points, and that's kind of what you want to see. But checking the standings right now, Grizzlies are now in eighth place, one game back of the Mavericks for seventh, three games back of Portland, and you got three games coming up with them, so that's something to look forward to. Maybe you can get some hay there. I think if you can get two out of three, I think that's a really good thing. But you go back to that Mavericks game, and they could be in really good position, man. It's just tough to think back to that one. But I mean, you win a game tonight that I think a lot of people probably wouldn't expect them to win. So you kind of give one, take one there. But they're two games up over Golden State, who's in ninth, 2.5 up on San Antonio, who's in tenth. 4.5 up on New Orleans, and now 7.5 up on Sacramento. And I think Sacramento's about done. Again, I think New Orleans is kind of the only team that could spoil the party for one of the teams in the top 10 right now. So Grizzlies are in good shape. I think barring some just crazy collapse, I think it's probably pretty much guaranteed that they're going to at least be in the play-in in some capacity.
Yeah. It's unless they get super hot, climb into that sixth seed or completely collapse. They're definitely going to be there. I want to roll to something a little bit different here, though. We have had the discussion about Melton, and both of us agree kind of where he's at pecking order-wise with this team. The way that Grayson has been playing lately, does that change your outlook on that at all? My opinion hasn't changed on Melton. And I wasn't necessarily down on Grayson, but the way that he's been playing lately, did it make you change your opinion any at all?
Man, I when watching it in that fourth quarter when he's knocking down those shots, I was thinking that exact same thing. And like you said, I've always been a fan of Grayson, but I think narrative-wise, if you ask Grizz fans, when you talk about the pecking order of these wings, now I know a lot of people are out on Winslow now, which I think they're jumping the gun on that, but Grayson has kind of been the guy that you would say, well, he's probably the odd man out in the end when you kind of look at the wings on his team. And with the way he's been playing, I mean, you look at a game like tonight, I mean, this guy looks like a starting shooting guard. Like, he doesn't look like, even on a good team, if he could shoot the basketball, I mean, knocking down seven threes tonight, I mean, I think that that has to make you think a little bit. We both agree on Melton and how important he is to this team. But I think if Grayson, when he's shooting the basketball the way he has been lately, I think he's just as important as this team as anybody outside of John Jared. I think you have to have him right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and the 7 threes, it's not a fluke thing. I'm pulling it up right now. I was trying to get it up while you were still talking, and I'm just a little bit slow with it. But, you know, he's had six, I want to say three times so far this year. You know, he's been up there. He's been knocking on the door of that seven and just hadn't been able to get over the top. And he finally did. It looks like one, two, three. Yeah, three times he's had six, and three additional times he's made five in a game. So he's more than capable of knocking down that three. He's playing well right now, but it's not a fluke that he's knocking down this many shots, because you know, there are a lot more games that he has played this year where he's made multiple threes than games played where he made less than two.
Yeah, it's not like he's like with 7 of 15, 7 of 16 or something. He's 7 of 10 and 9 of 13 overall from the field. So he's extremely efficient. I mean, this is not a fluke at all. These guys just can flat out shoot the basketball, and that's what we saw tonight. And I love the confidence. I mean, he comes down, he's looking for threes. He's sidestepping guys to try to get threes off, and I liked it. I wish Bain was a little bit more aggressive, kind of in the vein that Grayson is. And something we mentioned the other night, second game in a row where JV doesn't get the double-double, 17 and 8 tonight, but you kind of look down his box score and everybody contributed on the board. You got Ja with 6, Grayson with 4, DB 6, Slow-Mo with 8, off the bench, Tilly had a couple, X had a couple, Contrar with 3, Bain with 4. When other guys rebound like that, he doesn't need to get 14, 15 boards. I mean, the guards are – in these last couple of games especially have really done a good job of crashing the boards. And again, we saw that again tonight. JV only got the 8, but other guys were able to step up and make up for their deficit.
Yeah, and I want to praise him a little bit after kind of not really bashing him, but he done a great job defensively tonight. There were a couple times where he had to close on Lopez, and he was charging. He was closing on him. And the player makes all the difference in the world. You can charge Lopez because he's not a guy that you have to worry about him putting on the floor and blowing by you.
Yeah.
If he does put it on the floor and get by you, you can probably catch up, or your help defense is going to be there in plenty of time. So he done a great job tonight defensively. And again, I was never on the side of he's an awful defender. He's a middle of the road defender, but he's an awful pick and roll defender. And tonight he just done well overall. And that is, the double doubles are great, but a lot of times his double doubles come off of him missing shots around the rim and then tipping them back in. He was 7 for 10 tonight. So he didn't, I think it was Brevin that said it, you know, he didn't miss enough to get his double double, and that's okay. I'm sure that he wants to get the double double every night, but I'm fine with him not 17 and 8 on 7 of 10 from the field, and doing a pretty good job defensively on Lopez, even though Lopez knocked down like 3 or 4 threes, but a couple of them were not when JV was in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely closing out hard, and that's something that you don't usually see. So I give him credit as well for making the attempt. Again, I mean, he's not fleet of foot, so I mean, guys are going to beat him in that way, but the fact that you just want to see the effort, and sometimes you don't even see the effort. I mean, he just drops down in coverage, and it's just, again, plays that cover two, like you said, on Twitter, and he just doesn't close out hard on guys, but he definitely put in the effort tonight and had some good closeouts on Brooke Lopez. But looking down the stat sheet, something else that stood out, 11 turnovers tonight at 6 against Chicago. They've done a really good job in that area, taking care of the basketball, so that was good to see tonight as well. Something they've been doing lately. Did get out rebounded 45 to 44. Offensive rebounds, Milwaukee 13, Grizzlies 7. You usually point 60 points in the paint. And the thing about that is, usually of late, when the Grizzlies knock down a lot of three pointers, you usually see that number down. But they outscored the Bucks, who was a strong point paint to the point team as well. Outscored them by 20, still get 60, and also knocked down 15 threes. So I mean, they were just getting it done from inside and out tonight. I mean, it's just a complete game. This wasn't, like we said at the top of the show, this wasn't a fluke. I mean, the Grizzlies took the lead with 5:02 in the first quarter and never trailed again. This was almost a wire-to-wire win. I mean, it was some back and forth there early in the game. But this was a complete, one of the best, I think, complete offensive performances that I think we've seen from the Grizzlies. I mean, they were pretty much consistent all night. A lot of times they have these lulls in games, and that didn't really happen tonight. Every time Milwaukee made a little run, the Grizzlies had answers for them, especially, I think it was early in the fourth quarter when Slo-Mo was getting to the paint, penetrating, and dishing off the X. I mean, they just continued to score. Every time Milwaukee would hit them, they come right back and score again. And sometimes Grizzlies have these lulls where they don't score. They continue to score tonight.
Yeah, they've really done a great job. You saw that more early in the season. And it's happened a few games lately where they'll have a 5 or 6 minute stretch where they can't throw a rock in the ocean. And that's against better teams, you cannot do that. Definitely didn't do it tonight. Grizzlies PR tweeted out after the game, the Grizzlies are 16-10 on the road this season. That's the fourth highest road winning percentage in the league. And they are on pace to break the single season franchise record for the road winning percentage before this year, 2014, or 14-15 and 12-13, 585 was the highest percentage there. 16-10 at 615 right now. So they're in a good spot. This 7-game road trip may change that a little bit. You never know what's going to happen with this, but they're off to a great start.
Yeah, I mean, that's really impressive. Second youngest team in the league to be doing it without Jaren. I mean, that's super impressive to be fourth in the NBA in road winning percentage. I mean, that's something that, especially early in the season, you didn't see that coming. So that's a really impressive number. Something I do want to ask about, Ja Morant, 3 of 9 from three tonight. They were leaving him open. He had the looks, and there's a reason why they don't respect his jump shot, but he was letting them fly tonight. What do you think about him getting up 9 threes? Do you like the fact that he takes the open shots, or do you think he took too many tonight? What are your thoughts on that?
Man, it's kind of a double-edged sword, to be honest. So we know that his jump shot right now is not that strong. You look at the percentages, and they speak for themselves. But I don't want him to lose confidence. I want him to have the confidence. If they're playing under on the screen, take that shot, make them pay. He's putting in the work. He's working on that shot. I think that it will improve. Later in the game, he seemed like he was attacking a little bit more. Early, he shot, and I want to say he had like 5 or 6 attempts at halftime. So, you know, he only shot 3 threes in the second half. He was a little more in attack mode. I don't want him to lose confidence. There are other guys on the team that I would rather have shooting those threes, though.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed, and I've talked about this a couple times throughout the year with him, is he seems to be better when he's either up against the shot clock or guys close out on him on three. He seems to be more accurate on those threes when he just walks into one and it's wide open. He seems to stroke. He kind of fades back on those shots when he just steps into one, but he seems to be more accurate when he's either against the clock and he's forced to put it up or a guy closes out hard. I've noticed that, and those are the ones that he usually makes. When he kind of walks into one, he usually doesn't make those, and he needs to stop leaning back on it. You can notice there's a little lean back when he shoots, and I think that kind of makes his shot come up short a lot of the times, and I know he'll improve. I mean, his work ethic is off the charts. I know he's going to get in the lab this summer and continue to work on that, because I've said this so many times, once he gets decent, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be a great three-point shooter, but if you can get 34-35% and then get consistent from mid-range, he's going to be unguardable, because if you have to respect his jump shot, he's going to blow by guys all the time, and it's going to be – that's when I think the maturation process, that's when he's going to turn into a true superstar. I don't think guys are going to be able to guard him once he gets that mid-range going and get respectable from three.
Yeah, that's going to be – I think when it clicks for him, he gets to that 34-35% mark, like you were saying, he's just going to skyrocket from there. They are going to have to play up a little more. And with his vision, his basketball IQ, the speed, it's going to open up so much more. If they're not able to give him the Ben Simmons treatment, it's going to make a ton of difference in his game.
Yeah, and we always talk about this, but Jared is going to help with that as well. I mean, that they can now close out those lanes. When Jared's out there, they're going to have a lot harder time to doing that because he's going to draw guys away from the paint, and they're going to have a hard time stuffing the paint like that because you have to respect his jump shot. So he's going to help with that a lot. And I think Ja really misses Jared. I think, and you've seen it times this year, I think not right now, but there have been times this year where Ja didn't seem like he was having fun out there. Now, lately, they've been playing well, and he seemed to have that kind of joyfulness back. But I think early in the season, especially, I think he kind of missed Jared at times. I think he's possibly gotten used to it now, but it's going to be good to see him back out there because they work so well together when they're playing together. And I can't wait to see that Jared fully healthy. I don't know if we'll ever see peak Jared this year. The time is so short right now, but going into next year, he's going to really help up over those lanes. And I think that unlocks a whole different dynamic for this team.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, you look at the starting five, and not that it's going to be replaced JV with Jaren, but if Ja is out there with the other four starters with Jaren, just the spacing on the floor is significantly better. And regardless of who is in the pick and roll with him, the other three guys are going to be able to knock down a three. So, you know, they're going to have their defenders. They're not going to be able to help as much because of the threat of the three. So, you know, whether it's Kyle, Dylan, Grayson, you know, all of those guys can shoot the three. Or, you know, if it's not Jaren in the pick and roll, Jaren being out there gives them just more options. And we'll see. But, you know, Taylor Jenkins sets on a throne of lies. He said Winslow would be back by the end of the week, and they don't play again this week. So he is a liar.
Yeah, man, they said he'd be back. I think we both kind of predicted that. We didn't think he would go tonight. Now, the trio of guys was listed as doubtful, which is an upgrade from out. So hopefully we'll be seeing these guys back here pretty soon. Justice Winslow, D'Anthony Melton, listed as questionable. And, I mean, they could really use these guys on this road trip. But maybe going into Monday, we see them upgraded to questionable. I mean, a lot of times when guys are questionable, they end up playing. And I think if I predict now, I think Justice plays. I think Justice plays on Monday. I would say D'Anthony doesn't. That would be my guess. D'Anthony might come back against the Clippers. But I would predict right now that Justice plays on Monday.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, we got the he should be back by the end of the week thing. Monday's probably when it's going to be. I'm past the point of getting surprised of guys not playing, so it's not going to surprise me if he's out again on Monday. I still think we're probably in the next week before we see Melton. And I was just happy to see him upgraded.
Yeah.
Because beginning of the week, it was, we don't really have a timetable for him. And with the Grizzlies, you just don't know. You don't know how long that's going to be. But we won't jump too far into that tonight. We'll wrap it up. We're almost at the half-hour mark. You got anything else on to tonight's game before we get out of here?
Not really, to the point that we were just talking about. I was surprised to see Melton listed as doubtful. I was really surprised with Winslow. But like you said, it seems like they felt like Winslow was ahead of Melton, and Melton still, there was some question on whether he would be back, I guess, this week. So to see him doubtful, I was pretty encouraged by that. So I we'll probably see both guys on this road trip. Hopefully we see Jared on his road trip. We talked about that date that I kind of predicted. I think it was the 28th of this month, about a month ago, and was hoping that we get him back earlier than that. I hope that's still the case because that just puts you with the back-to-backs. It's just so short amount of time before the play-in. You'd like for him to come back on his road trip, kind of get himself acclimated, get his feet wet, and be at least 70, 80% by the time they get into that little easier stretch that they have at the end of the season, because I think they could really go on a run there. So hopefully we get all three of these guys back before the end of this road trip. I'm not really optimistic on Jared. I think at some point, Justice probably Monday, and I think at some point we'll see Melton before this road trip is over. But other than that, man, that's all I got. A tough game coming up on Monday. The Nuggets will have had 2 days off. They didn't play tonight, won't play tomorrow. So it's going to be a tough one. That altitude is always tough to go to Denver and play up there. The place that the Grizzlies haven't had a lot of success. Jamal Murray, of course, torn ACL. He's going to be out. So Grizzlies got two shots at him. I think we talked about how tough the one at the end of the road trip could be, playing two tough Portland games. You had it back-to-back Sunday, Monday in that one. So that's going to be a tough one. So if they're going to get him, I think this might be the one, man. You can start off this road trip 3-0, man. That would be fantastic. I've talked about going 3-4, man. They're already over half the way there. So I've been really encouraged, man. Just hopefully they can keep this up because they're playing really well right now.
Yeah, Brevin said, he's like, you can't go 7-0 on this road trip if you don't win the first one.
Yeah.
And they're 2-0. Here we go. We are we still got a shot at the 7-0. That would be incredible. That would be amazing.
If they go 7-0, if they go 7-0, I think they're gonna be the sixth seed. If that happens, I think they have a really good shot at that.
Yeah, for sure. The one positive thing that I can say going into this last stretch of the season here, they've got a lot of games. The Nuggets are enjoying something right now that the Grizzlies don't have for the rest of the season, and that's back-to-back days off.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies don't have that the rest of the way. But something that the Grizzlies have that the Nuggets don't are 12 guys that have played rotation minutes all year long. So even when you have to rest people, you're not going to get a guy that's been sitting on the bench for the last 3.5-4 weeks that hadn't seen more than junk time. You know, you look down, I have to go back a day here to look at the Nuggets roster, but you look at this Nuggets roster and the guys that at the end of their bench that aren't playing, and the list is crazy long. You know, you got Zeke Nnaji plays minutes here and there. Bol Bol hadn't played anything. Marcus Howard, Harrison, McGee and Murray. You know, Murray is hurt, but has McGee even played a game for Denver? Is he hurt right now? Do you know?
Man, I'm not sure. Check me here. I can find out.
You're looking outside.
No, he didn't. He didn't play in their last game against the Rockets. DNP coach's decision, and then they went against the Rockets in their last game. So. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. They have a lot of guys that don't really play. I'm looking at their minutes, and Campazzo plays, Dozier played 24 minutes, Jermichael Green played 22, and Paul Millsap 17. That's pretty much these other guys off the bench. They're just pretty much spot minutes. They played a lot of guys, but only a couple guys off the bench with major minutes.
Yeah, you look down this Grizzlies bench, and you know the guys outside of the guys that are hurt right now, you have Frazier, Porter, and McDermott. And that's pretty much it. Everybody else, Jaren's been out all year, but you know that he's going to be a rotation guy. Winslow, Melton, Clark, Jones, Conchar, Tillman, Tilly, and Bain. Tilly and Conchar are going to be out of the rotation whenever, you know, when we get down to it. We know that's going to be the case. But if you have to bring them back in, they're not going to be so rusty that it's going to be just detrimental to you. And I think that's, You have, I said, no back-to-back days off. And then to end the season, you have 5 games in 6 days. So you're going to need some of that depth to close this season out. And no telling where the records are going to be and what the Grizzlies, you know, are they going to be in the range of that sixth seed? Are they going to be fighting for their life, having to win, you know, 2 of these last 3 games of the season to hold on to be in the play-in? We don't know yet, but I think that because of their depth, they're going to be in good shape either way.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think the Grizzlies, depth-wise, have more depth than the better teams in the league. I mean, the better teams in the league have these star players that the Grizzlies don't have, but they also don't have the depth that the Grizzlies have. And I think that's an advantage that they have, especially with this tough schedule, for them to be able to navigate this, to have their depth, especially when they get these guys back. I mean, you had 3 guys back, and not having those guys has allowed, like you said, guys like Conchar, Tilly, and even Xavier Tillman, the guy who was playing major minutes earlier in the season, but was completely out of rotation at one point, and now he's back, and you see how well he's playing. These guys are not coming in completely green. They can come in and help you if called upon, and I think that's an advantage that this team has.
Oh, yeah. Yep, for sure. Well, guys, we're going to get out here. You can get the show on Twitter, at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWell2111. Isaac started us off, and he's going to sign us out tonight.
Yeah, man, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. Again, man, big victory for the Grizzlies. We had 2-0 on this road trip. Hey, man, we talked about possibly going 3-4, man. Let's win all 7 of them, man. Shoot for that 6 seed. Shoot for the stars. Why not? Man, but thanks for everyone for joining me. And we'll be back on Monday night. The Grizzlies going to take on the Nuggets at altitude in Denver, man. Hopefully we can be 3-0. An opportunity for the Grizzlies. They got two shots at them, like we said. Something at the end of the road trip might be able to get this one. So it'd be fun to see. So we'll talk to you on Monday night. And I've been Isaac. This is from David. Go Grizzlies.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.